the Starting Lineup Podcast. It is your host, Shep Jones. You've not heard from us for a while.
Long time.
Things have been getting a little complicated and busy with work schedules and other personal matters going on, but we are here to do our last podcast as a crew.
Yep.
I'm done with college at the end of next week when finals are over. You, sir, are taking a little skip across the pond.
That's right. I'm going to London to study abroad next semester, so I obviously will not be able to maintain a regular podcast schedule. Mm-hmm. We'll see what my resources are like over there, but I probably won't podcast, but I'll keep up with some blogs maybe and some stuff that you're kind of obligated to do as a study abroad student is to brag and tell everyone about what you're doing and how cool your experiences are.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've never been to London. I've been abroad several times, but I've never been to London, so I'm a little jealous. I've always kind of wanted to go there and spend some time there. And
yep, 4 months.
Yeah. That's...
Hopefully I can do some traveling while I'm there. I actually looked at this last night, and round-trip flight from London to Stockholm, Sweden. What would you guess for round-trip?
Round-trip? $200, $300?
$25.
Really?
Round trip. So that's $12.50 each way.
Wow.
Yeah. So if there's prices like that while I'm over there, I'm going to take full advantage of that. That's
wild. Yeah, a flight for me to go home to Chicago, round trip is like $250, $300.
Right. And then even for me, I drive home and I can just about buy a plane ticket for how much I spend on gas. Mm-hmm. It's usually about $80 for me to get one way on gas.
Mm-hmm.
Just not worth it. But yeah. It's interesting, but I guess we should start talking about sports because that's what our...
That's what we do here, is we talk sports. The off-season for Major League Baseball is in full swing.
That's right.
Some signings have already happened.
Very minimal,
small things. So the Cubs have signed Tyler Chatwood to a three-year deal. I believe it's $38 million. He kind of fills the role
40.
That...
I think it's a solid 40. I think it's 3 for 40.
He fills the role that John Lackey had, I think.
38, yep, sorry, you're right.
I think Chatwood would be the better pitcher out of Lackey. Like, if you take Lackey today versus Tyler Chatwood, I think you'd take Chatwood over Lackey. So he kind of fills that role. But I think the Cubs need to get another piece. But everyone is currently talking about two major things. If Giancarlo Stanton will waive his no-trade clause... I believe it's still St. Louis and the Giants are in on trying to get Stanton.
The Giants, I got a notification about this yesterday, but apparently the Giants are more worried about the Dodgers than the Cardinals at this point, swooping in at the last minute to take Stanton away. And obviously the Dodgers don't have any financial constraints, so they have another $25 million contract on their payroll. It's not going to mean much.
Right.
I think they had $80 million in dead money last season, which is crazy because that's almost... the entire payroll for the Twins.
Right.
The Minnesota Twins had a payroll of about $103 million last year or something like that. It's wild to think that one team can have that much dead money and that one player can make that $25 million a year, given he's an MVP, so he deserves it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's one of, over the last couple of years, he's one of the best power hitters in the game, but that's not his only... Plus, he's a good contact guy.
He reaches the base real well.
Right. He runs. He takes his pitches. He's a pretty good defensive outfielder as well.
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily call him a five-tool player. He doesn't have the speed to be a five-tool, but he's got all of them just lacking in certain areas just because of his physique.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to be a fast runner when you've got an upper body that's massive.
Right. So we're looking at other free agent deals here. Wellington Castillo could arguably be the most prominent signing that's happened so far this offseason. He went to the White Sox for 2 years and $15 million. Otherwise, it's pretty low-level stuff. I mean, I didn't hear about this, but apparently Doug Fister went to the Rangers for $4 million.
I didn't hear that.
I would pay $4 million for Doug Fister. Terrence Gore re-signed to the Royals for a minor league deal.
Okay.
Let's see what else. Hisashi Iwakuma threw a no-hitter, 3 years ago, and now he settled for a minor league deal with the Mariners. Mike Minor could also be the biggest one. Signed the Rangers as well. That's not a minor league deal.
Right.
Yeah, sorry. They're planning to convert him into a starting pitcher.
Which he was when he was with Atlanta.
Right, and then the with the Royals, he was a relief pitcher. And then we have Yusmeiro Pettit, whatever you want to say. Signed with the Athletics, two years for $10 million. Lots of low-level stuff. Justin Upton, we already done that. We might have actually already talked about that, but way back when we still did podcasts. So yeah, that's a very quick summation of all the deals that have happened so far, because that's all that has happened really for the most part.
And I think some of the ones that have kind of coasted under the radar have been the international prospects that have been signed that have been fallout from
the Braves.
The Braves.
Yep.
The Angels, I know, got one, and the other one, I think, is it's gone to an AL team. I think, you know, when you've got international prospects who are within a system and they're some of their top prospects get released because of something the front office did, teams are going to come in and scoop them up with hopes that it'll pan out to be something pretty solid for that club.
Absolutely.
I think the Angels kind of making that move to get Maitán.
Kevin.
$850,000 deal with a $1 million, or his $1 million bonus was with the Braves. He signed a $850K deal with the Angels. 18, so really young.
And for these teams that are lacking in their farm systems, this is a huge opportunity for them to rebuild their farm system without having to tank for draft spots and thinking about it in that regard. And it could be potentially crippling for the Braves here, say 4 or 5 years down the road, when they were expecting all these guys to be coming up and they just aren't because of the misactions of their leadership.
But the other big story going on is there are now seven teams in the running. We started at like 11 or 12. We're now down to seven in the running for Ohtani, the two-way Japanese player, 23 years old, has a high 90s fastball and can hit for power.
Hundreds fastball.
Hundreds fastball.
Yeah, I think he's popped 102 before.
So I think if I'm in that situation and I'm coming overseas and I know I can be a dominant pitcher and can also be a dominant hitter, the thing I'm listening for is, how are you going to use me?
Right.
Does he want to be just a pitcher? Does he want to be just an outfielder? Does he want to do both? Like,
I'm assuming he's going to want to do both.
I'm kind of assuming that as well. But how would that work? Do you have him pitch, give him a day off, hit, and then he pitches again?
Yeah, I mean, you could use him as a DH potentially.
If he goes to an AL team.
If he does go to an AL team. And then if I personally think, I listened to this on another podcast and I really agreed with it, that if he goes to an American League team and they stick him at the DH spot every so say he plays two games at DH between starts, because then after that second game he'll obviously probably want to take a game off after his start, so that he'll start after his day off, he'll probably start at DH the next 2 days, and then he'll take that fourth day to prepare for his next start in the following day or following 2 days, and then pitch again. But what was brought up is the fact that if he starts at DH, then he's going to be compared to other DHs, and I think that if he gets compared to other DHs, he's going to be a replacement-level DH at best. Because I don't see him hitting above 300, and I don't see him hitting 30 home runs his first year in the major leagues.
Right.
Which is, you're not going to expect 300 out of a DH, but you expect somewhere in like the 250 range and then above 25 home runs, and I don't think Ohtani can do that. But another thing that I wanted to talk about, along with a few other things about Ohtani, is that Vegas released the odds for his stats for his rookie season coming up. They set his ERA at 3.20.
Not
over
bad.
Or under. What would you say for that? Over or under?
I'd probably go over on his rookie year.
I would say
But not by much. Yeah, I think 3.5, 3.6.
Yeah, I could see him pushing four at some points, too. And they also said his batting average, this is also optimistic, at 2.88.
I'll take the under.
I'm taking under on that, too.
I'll take the over on the ERA. I'll take both negative sides of that. So the over on the ERA, the under on the batting average. But I think they'll be close to those numbers. 2.88, I think, is far-fetched. As a rookie in any coming over from whether it be coming up for the minors or overseas,
right?
That's kind of a hefty number to come to go get your first year out or in a new league.
Yeah, and it's unrealistic to expect that from any rookie because at the end of the day, he's still a rookie.
Right.
What is he? 23 years old.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, the seven teams that remain are the Rangers, the Mariners, the Angels, the Cubs, the Dodgers, Giants, and the Padres. But some of those teams have already voiced some complaints about this entire process, almost saying that Ohtani has already made his decision and is just kind of toying with teams where he may have, you know, maybe he's already selected, let's say, the Mariners.
Right.
But he knows that other teams are going to be calling and coming to see him and wanting to meet with him. Whether it's out of respect for those other teams and saying, yeah, I'll meet with you, but I'm not going to tell you that I've already signed. There's a level of respect and disrespect in that same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I've got my made mind up, but yeah, sure, we'll talk. Like it,
which is also kind of funny given the fact that two teams just acquired more money for him last night. So I know we just talked about this, that Ohtani's not necessarily interested in money, but that might be a factor for his agent because I'm sure his agent gets more money if he signs for more.
Probably.
And then the last thing I want to talk about with Ohtani is the, I don't know if you saw this, but he in high school made a list of everything that he wants to accomplish year by year in his life. Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
All right, so this just got released yesterday's the first time I saw it. So his goal was to reach an MLB team by age 18. Little late.
Yeah, a little late.
And he wanted to join a starting rotation in the major leagues at 21. Still a little late.
Still a little late.
And he wanted to win a Cy Young by 22. But everything else he can still be on track for.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm pretty sure he was already a member of the World Baseball Classic team, was he not?
I believe you're correct on that.
And then so at age 24, he wanted to throw a no-hitter. Mm-hmm. But he also wanted to win 25 games. No one's done that in how long? Probably was Nolan Ryan the last one to do that?
Probably.
Maybe not. Maybe he didn't even ever get there. And then at age 25, he wants to throw the fastest pitch in the world at 108 miles per hour. At age 26, he wants to win the World Series and get married.
Mm-hmm.
So these are personal goals too.
Right.
And by age 27, he wants to be on the World Baseball Classic team and be the MVP of it. And he wants to have his first son at age 28. And 29, he wants to throw his second no-hitter. And then he wants to have a daughter at age 31. He wants to win another World Series at age 32.
Mm-hmm.
Another son at age 33. He wants to win a third World Series by age 34. And at age 37, his first son will start baseball. And then at age 38, his stats will start to drop and start thinking about retirement. And so that's when he starts thinking about leaving.
So he's got some humor kind of kicked into this. He knows.
Decide to retire at the end of next season at age 39. Age 40, throw a no-hitter in my very last game, and then age 41, return to Japan.
he's got it planned. He's good to go.
He's got it real detailed here.
Yeah, he's ready to go. He's got
dreaming.
Everything lined up. But he's got all that lined up, and he knows when he wants it, how he wants it, where. But the question is, where?
Exactly.
Yeah, I've heard a lot. It's a West Coast team. But then you've got the Rangers and the Cubs thrown in there. Even though the Rangers play in the West, mm-hmm. not a West team. They're a Southern state. The Cubs, not anywhere close to the West Coast, closer to the East Coast, if anything else. But you do have that cultural, you've got a mix of different cultural influences
yep.
throughout the Chicago. And you could say the same thing about L.A. and San Francisco and Seattle and San Diego, not so much.
And there are some teams that are mixed in there that probably don't have a good chance of even winning a World Series in the near future unless they buy players now. Like,
right.
I don't see the Angels winning a World Series anytime soon, mm-hmm. especially since by the time Ohtani hits his prime, Trout will probably hit free agency and likely not stay in mm-hmm. Los Angeles. Maybe he will. That's something we haven't heard of too much yet. And obviously, I think Albert Pujols' contract is on the books until like 2020 or something mm-hmm. like that. So that's going to be hindering for him as far as signing free agents goes. And they aren't ranked in the top 10 farm systems in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So there aren't too many avenues that the Angels can explore in order to acquire more talent, which mm-hmm. is possibly one of the reasons why they're pushing hard for Ohtani, is because they aren't necessarily a high payroll team historically,
mm-hmm.
but they may have an opportunity to add Ohtani for $3 million a year and potentially get a steal and steal an MVP
mm-hmm.
At a really low salary rate.
Yeah, I mean, he's, I think it was he's making $1,000 in like in currency over in Japan, like per month or something like that.
Oh, gosh.
So he's going to have a pretty large jump in what he's making now anyway, no matter how small that number is.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other kind of the added piece to this, and this is something Ichiro turned down when he was coming over, was the endorsements. Ichiro wanted nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm curious on where Ohtani would stand, because that could also influence where he goes. LA, pretty big market. Chicago, pretty big market.
Yeah, and then, but at the same time, he also said that he wasn't interested in money.
So, right.
I mean, I don't know. I really feel like, I mean, Seattle's not a big endorsement market, but I could see him landing in Seattle. He'd get a few endorsements there, obviously, but not anything you'd get in, say, Los Angeles or New York.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's, I don't know. Is there anything else you want to add on Ohtani? Pretty much covered all the bases there with Ohtani.
Hey, throwing out the puns.
Oh, yeah. It's the last episode. I got to get it all out of my system.
Yeah, I think we're good on Ohtani now. It's pretty much he has to make a decision by December 22nd.
It'll happen in the next two days, I think.
I think you're correct in that, where he's met with every team, I think, twice now.
Yeah.
So he's...
Is he in America right now?
I don't know for sure. I know Buster Posey was the Giants' representative to go meet with him, but mm-hmm. I don't know if that was here in the States or overseas in Japan.
Right.
I do not have the answer to that.
Hmm.
But that will... Now, winter meetings are in 2 weeks?
They're next week.
Next week?
Next week, yep.
So you'll start seeing a lot of the bigger names potentially come off the board.
Yep.
I think once Ohtani... The Ohtani piece has been essentially claimed, other major players, it's going to start a domino effect.
And Stanton.
Yu Darvish is still just kind of sitting there.
Everybody
waiting.
Is.
Right.
Lynn, who's mm-hmm. overrated, by the way.
I agree.
Alex Cobb, and who's the other? Jake Arrieta.
Yeah.
Who's going to get way too much money.
Arrieta will get paid way too much. I can tell you that.
You're banking on the fact that the last 2 or 3 years of the contract's going to be garbage no matter who you sign, but Jake Arrieta didn't have an amazing year this year. He was good,
mm-hmm.
but he had some starts where he did not look good at all.
Correct. There were some games he just looked bad, and there were other games you could see why he was a Cy Young 2 years ago.
Right.
But they were far and few between.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's a good opportunity to add a starting pitcher that could potentially win another Cy Young award.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Moving over to football, I will ask you one question.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the most valuable person in the NFL?
What do you mean?
Who in your mind, if you were to start the NFL from scratch and you knew all these players, who would you want?
At this stage in their career, no matter what? So, like, if I wanted Drew Brees, I'd get a 37-year-old Drew Brees?
No, you can take whoever you want. Don't factor age into it.
Tom Brady.
Right. Tom Brady makes $25 million a year right now.
You're inserting a Roger Goodell reference now?
I am inserting a Roger Goodell reference because this has bugged me since yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The most valuable player in the NFL.
Matthew Stafford.
No. is Tom right? Money wise, yes. But as a player to a team, it is Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
By far, he's gotten several Super Bowls. He's come back from suspensions and led teams to Super Bowls. He's come back from injuries and led teams to Super Bowls.
And come back from 25-point deficits and led teams to Super Bowl victories.
Right. Like, but he's only making 25 a year.
Only.
But Roger Goodell now is making $40 million a year for the next 5 years.
And I also heard that this new contract, his entire family gets health insurance for the rest of their lives, mm-hmm. and he gets a private jet for the rest of his life as well.
Some player reactions here. Well, here's a ESPN stats and info tweet.
Great.
Roger Goodell has made more than $200 million since being elected the NFL commissioner in 2006. No player in that time has earned that much money in that time span. The highest is Drew Brees at $183.94 million. The man who runs a league shouldn't be getting paid more than your most highest paid player.
I agree with that.
He's not worth that much amount of money. Joe Thomas puts it perfectly. So what does this mean that Roger Goodell is twice as valuable to the NFL and twice as hard to replace than Tom Brady? Like, that's insane. The greatest of all time, the GOAT of the NFL, is making $15 million less than the commissioner of the NFL, who, in my own personal opinion, is not great.
No, he's repeatedly been inconsistent in terms of suspensions. And you can pretty much just leave it at that. I mean,
yeah,
it's the disconnect between domestic violence, drugs, everything. Like, it seems like on every single front, he just misses it completely.
Right.
Like, if you compare, say, Josh Gordon to Ezekiel Elliott to Ray Rice, and Josh Gordon, what, did he get a full season ban for weed charges?
He's been out for the last 2 years.
Yeah, but I think official suspension was a year. I might be wrong on that.
No, it wasn't a permanent, but it was like, you'll be reinstated when we want to reinstate you.
Okay. So in what do you call that?
He was exiled.
Yeah,
from the league,
something
pretty
like
much.
That. I forget what the exact word for that is. Indefinitely.
Yes, that's he was indefinitely suspended.
Indefinitely.
So, much like Justin Blackman is now with the Jags, who will never come back to the NFL.
Justin Blackman.
Yeah, do you not remember Justin Blackman?
Yes. I was thinking of Charlie Blackman.
Wrong sport. I mean, it was several DUIs in a row.
Yeah.
And
he was a first-round receiver, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. I think if you put Allen Robinson and Justin Blackman on the same field across from me, like on either side of the field, that's hard to defend.
Yeah, now you have a competent Blake Bortles.
You have a competent Blake Bortles and a decent D.D. Westbrook.
Yep.
But no Allen Robinson, so they're not going to make it very far.
Yeah, I talked about this before, but it's so strange to see the Rams be a legitimate team, the Jags be a legitimate team, the Chargers are kind of...
They're right there.
They're tied
the
for first.
The Chiefs are imploding.
They're tied for first, and who else? Like, there's a lot of other teams that just have kind of come out of the woodwork this year. But the Rams are still bad. Not the Rams, the Browns.
Browns are still bad.
Browns are still terrible.
Giants? Bad.
Really bad.
Really bad.
Didn't expect that.
I think when you lose...
Not this bad. You can't expect that bad.
But when you lose two of your top receivers and you have zero run game...
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You're going to be bad.
Yeah.
They lost three because it was Marshall, Beckham.
Yep.
And didn't Sterling Shepard also go down too?
And didn't they lose Victor Cruz to free agency or did they re-sign
him? They cut him.
Okay, so he's gone too.
He's gone too. So they're essentially their entire receiving core gone.
Crazy.
Running backs, not good. Eli Manning without Beckham, not good.
And it just sucks that he had to lose his starting streak for one game. Remarkable.
A couple other weird changes that I've noticed over the last several weeks. The Nathan Peterman start for the Bills made zero sense.
Yeah.
Tyrod Taylor was having an actually decent year. Like he wasn't bad, he wasn't great, but he was helping the Bills win games.
Yep.
But then you pull him out and put Peterman in there, who throws five interceptions and a half.
They should have just kept him in and had him go for the record for interceptions.
What is that record?
It's six by Ryan Fitzpatrick. Well, I don't know how I know. Why? I was at the game.
You were there in person witnessing history happen.
Yep.
We're getting close to, we're entering week 14. We've got three total weeks left. No one has clinched a playoff spot yet, which is surprising to me. Not even the Patriots have. I think if they win this week, they do. Because I'm pretty sure there's a chance that they could blow it. Right, I think they're one game away from clinching.
Because the Vikings are 10-2, and the next best is 6-6.
Right.
So they just have to win one more, mm-hmm. and they're in.
Yeah. So the Patriots are 10-2. Bills are 6-6. So Patriots lose the next three. They become 10-5.
Mm-hmm.
Bills win the next three. They're 9-6.
They'll be fine.
Yeah.
The Patriots will be
fine. Patriots will be fine.
The Vikings will be fine.
Vikings will be fine. I think the Steelers will be fine. They're 10-2 as well.
The last four games the Vikings have are against the Packers and the potentially Aaron Rodgers, though,
mm-hmm.
which would be interesting, and the Bears.
Right.
It would be really interesting if Aaron Rodgers starts that.
You could bench players for the Vikings against the Bears and still win the game.
But think about that, because the Vikings are the ones who broke Aaron Rodgers' collarbone, and his first game back could potentially be against mm-hmm. the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
That would be something. He would come out so pissed off.
Right. So, current seedings. The first seed in the AFC would be who?
In the AFC?
In the AFC.
The Patriots.
Nope.
What?
It's the Steelers.
The Steelers. Okay, same thing.
Two is the Patriots.
Yep.
Who is the number one seed for the NFC?
The Eagles?
No.
The Vikings?
Yes. The Eagles are number two. Three seed.
Wonder what tiebreakers that would be. Is it common opponent? Or points scored?
I don't know. That's a good question that I don't have the answer to. 3, 4, 5, and 6 in what order for the AFC?
For the AFC?
Mm-hmm.
Geez. 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm going to be drawing blanks and do terrible here.
AFC
six,
South.
Let me do six. I'll do the six first. It'd be the Chiefs at six.
Nope.
Fifth?
Nope.
Chiefs are there somewhere.
Chiefs are at four.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that would that put the Raiders in there too?
Yep.
No.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Who's
even in the AFC South?
AFC South would be the Colts.
Oh, yeah. That
the Texans.
Garbage division.
The Titans. Jags. Titans is three.
And Jags are in there too?
Jags is five.
Okay.
Six, AFC North.
AFC North? The Ravens?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Ravens are 7-5. Surprisingly, 7-5.
Jeez.
Wasn't this past Monday night, but two Monday nights ago when the Ravens were on Monday Night Football, they were showing side-by-side stats of the Ravens Super Bowl team defense and the current Ravens defense. This year's Ravens defense is better.
No way.
Yes. Than the Super Bowl winning defense. Now this is defense without Ed Reed, without Ray Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are two prominent pieces, and really it's just Terrell Suggs. And Eric Weddle. I think everyone kind of forgets that Weddle is now in Baltimore, and he's mm-hmm. a damn good safety.
He is a good safety. That's crazy, though. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl this year, though.
Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco would have to be a lot better than where
he is
right now.
All right, so we're doing the same thing for the NFC now?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so NFC, we got the Vikings,
mm-hmm.
The Saints.
Saints are four.
The Eagles are two.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Saints are four.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts... the Seahawks at five.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's see who else you'd have. You'd have the Panthers in there
mm-hmm.
at six.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm missing number four.
Missing number three.
Number three. It's not from the north.
Nope.
It's from the west.
Uh-huh.
It's the Rams.
It is the Rams. Yeah. Which is a weird thing to say. The Rams are in the third seed. But if this were the playoff picture today, that's pretty good. You'd have the Titans and the Ravens, and then the Chiefs and the Jags.
Yeah.
And then you'd have Rams, Panthers, Saints, Seahawks. Wait,
can we back up real quick?
Yes.
So we had the Eagles at second.
Yes.
The Vikings beat them.
Correct.
Who was third? The Rams.
Rams.
The Vikings beat them.
Yes.
Who was fourth?
Saints.
The Vikings beat them.
Yes.
It's.
Have you played the Panthers yet?
No.
Oh, that's this weekend.
Yes.
That is this weekend. Do you play the Seahawks?
I don't think so.
No, you do.
Do we?
I think so.
Okay, let me look. Hold on.
Or you play one AFC or NFC West team, because the Bears play the Niners, but we haven't played the Seahawks.
All right, so.
Or the Rams.
To finish
or
the season, the Vikings have the Panthers this week.
Mm-hmm.
We could beat another playoff team, and then we finish Bengals, Packers, Bears.
Bengals, Packers, Bears.
So we don't play a West team. So, yeah. So, what the Panthers are what, fifth? Or six?
Six.
Six? So
you could knock.
We could beat every single playoff team except for one.
Right, because it goes even further than that. If the Vikings beat the Panthers and the Falcons win.
Yeah.
The Falcons then take the sixth seed, which the Vikings have also beaten.
That's wild. Talk about strength of schedule.
Huh? Right. I mean, it's... Yeah.
And
I mean,
yet they're probably still, like, if we're creating, 10th at the power ranking.
If we're creating a college football playoff, the best strength of schedule is the Vikings.
And it's not even close.
Right.
It's like beating Miami, Clemson, and Georgia all in the same season.
Right. Yeah. And you can throw Bama in there too with the Falcons.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. Somehow the Broncos are still in the hunt for the AFC.
What are they, 6th? Are they 6-6 or are they below 500?
They're 3-9 and still in the hunt. Technically speaking, they're still in.
Because it's the Chiefs who are in first place, and then
here's a three-way tie for first place in the AFC West, being the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Raiders.
6-6.
And the Raiders and the Chiefs square off this week.
The battle for mediocrity.
Exactly. It's that the West is bad this year.
Who can be the least mediocre team in the AFC West?
Yeah. So we'll do our old school way of pick 'em. Starting
for
with,
the last time.
For the last time.
Starting with tonight.
Saints at Falcons.
It's a good game.
It is a really good game for a Thursday night football game.
Let's see. What color rush are we gonna be having? Are we gonna have Saints in gold?
That'd
be cool.
I totally agree with you. Saints would probably be Saints in black.
And then Falcons in red? Or in white?
They are the home team, so probably Falcons in white. Right? Because
no, solid colors are home.
Well, technically.
Whatever.
Maybe it is black and red. I don't know how they're going to make that work.
I really like this game a lot. I think, gosh. You want to see this game be in the 30s for both teams.
Right.
And it has a very good chance to be that. But the Saints have actually tightened up their defense considerably here in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think.
And this is after starting 0-3. So they've won 9 straight.
Give me the Falcons.
Give me the Saints.
I don't know, because it's really weird because both of these teams... They have elite quarterbacks, but they both have really good running games too. Because Alvin Kamara is amazing, and then you have Freeman and Coleman as a tandem out of the Atlanta backfield, and that's spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to pick, but I think I'm gonna go with the Falcons at home.
Yeah, we'll just kind of condense this a little bit. Cowboys at Giants.
Cowboys.
Raiders at Chiefs. And the Chiefs stop the skid.
No, go Raiders.
I think I'm gonna have to go Raiders this week because Marcus Peters has been team suspended for throwing a flag into the stands. let's see here. Well, we'll do Vikings at Panthers.
Vikings.
Redskins at Chargers.
Interesting game.
Right. That's why I'm...
Redskins blowout. 20 points.
Chargers blowout because of the defensive pass rush. That's going to... Because this is a Redskins offensive line that has had 23 different offensive line combinations.
It's true.
Since the beginning of the year. And it's Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram.
Yeah, and I guess the quarterback comparison's pretty similar, too, though. Mm-hmm. Kirk and Phillip are probably two of the top... They're in the top 10 for sure, yeah. Obviously, but I don't know.
I'm going to take Chargers.
Chargers, okay.
This should be a really fun game to watch. Eagles at Rams.
Wow, all these heavyweights are hitting each other. Give me the Eagles.
Give me the Rams.
Jeez, we haven't agreed yet.
Seahawks at Jags.
Give me the Jags.
We're going to actually agree on this. In the jungle. I'm going to take the Jags.
All right, so we got to find a nap game of the week, and it's a battle between the Titans and Cardinals and Jets and Broncos, but I think it's the Jets and Broncos.
It is for sure. It's the Jets and Broncos being the nap game of the week. That's why I just kind of skipped right over. Ravens at Steelers.
Steelers landslide.
Steelers are going to... I don't think it will be a landslide. I think the Steelers will also get away with getting a game-winning field goal in the final minute. Because that Ravens defense is pretty good.
See, are you putting the Patriots on upset watch here on Monday night?
I'm not. No. even without Rob Gronkowski, the Patriots will roll
stupid,
over the Dolphins.
Stupid, by the way. So stupid.
You can't pile drive someone's head into the turf. They're already out of bounds and had been out of bounds for several seconds.
It's just so blatant. Like you have to know when you do that, oh, I'm going to take this penalty.
And he tried to appeal it, too.
Yeah, that's...
Which I'm like,
I did nothing wrong.
Okay, I didn't jump and land with my forearm in the back of this guy's neck. Who now
there's a hole in the meeting.
Tre'Davious White has a concussion because of that. Didn't play for the rest of the game. But
stupid.
I think Dwayne Allen will do just fine as the Patriots tight end.
I think so too. So. Okay.
That will put a wrap on the starting lineup podcast.
Moment of silence.
I know, moment of silence.
Thank you
for all of you that have listened week after week when we've had podcasts. I know we've been spread a little thin lately with some changes in my job, jobs and school. And you, sir, are getting ready to go overseas for a solid portion of time, and just trying to make our schedules line up to get this done was a bit of a task. But we found some time to carve out today to do a little bit of a farewell show. But then, again, thank you for all of you who have listened week after week.
Ditto.
We will, all right. As always, we will see you again.
Maybe. We'll see.
Why you gotta be like that, dude?
All right. Thank you, guys.